At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
On 2UE, George and Paul's Crime File.
And today it's Son of Sam.
Yes, we talked briefly about Son of Sam over the last few weeks, and I thought today we'd tell you the story of arguably the most awful killer in history. What are known as signature serial killers are the rarest of all multiple murderers. They are called this because on or near each victim they leave their unmistakable calling card or signature so that their pursuers know that the killing is the handiwork of the same offender. Signature serial killers are also among the best known murderers in history. To name just a few, Jack the Ripper's mutilations of his victims in London in the late 1880s were unmistakable from one unfortunate victim to the next. Throughout the 1960s, the Boston Strangler, Albert DeSalvo, strangled his 13 victims with their stockings and tied them in a bow. During the late 1970s, Peter Sutcliffe, also known as the Yorkshire Ripper, stabbed his 13 victims to death up to 50 times before leaving them for the police to find. Australia has only ever had two true signature serial killers. The first was William the Mutilator MacDonald in Sydney in the early 1960s, who specialised in ferociously stabbing his victims to death in very public places and then taking parts of their bodies as souvenirs, with the skill of a Macquarie Street surgeon. As the bodies mounted up, police had no problem in assuming it was the work of the one deranged killer. In fact, he died just recently, actually a couple of weeks ago, aged 92. The other was a beast named John Wayne Glover, who became known as the Granny Killer. Glover's specialty was bashing little old ladies to death in public and leaving them for the police to find on the streets of Sydney's harbour foreshore suburb of Mossman in 1980 and 1990. From the outset, the style of killing and type of victims were without doubt the work of the same killer, the Granny Killer. But of all of the few signature serial killers throughout history, there is one that has gone down in infamy as the most brazen of them all. He was New York's Son of Sam. Late one night in July 1976, when a man pulled a .44-caliber Charter Arms Bulldog revolver from a brown paper bag and shot and killed 18-year-old Donna Loria and wounded her friend Jody Valenti as they sat in Valenti's Oldsmobile in New York's Bronx District, to the police it was, well, just another random killing in a city whose murder rate was 30 a week. Can you imagine 30 murders in public a week, George?
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's how bad it was at one stage. I don't think it's like that these days.
No, New York has cleaned itself up.
It certainly has.
Dramatically, actually.
Yep. Yeah. When a young couple cuddling in a car were shot and seriously wounded 3 months later at 1:30 a.m. in nearby Queens, police still didn't link the two incidents. They still didn't connect the crimes a month later when two young women standing underneath a streetlight in Queens were seriously wounded by a stranger with a handgun. Finally, police took notice when 26-year-old Christine Freund and her boyfriend John Dial, 30, were shot at 12:40 a.m. on 30th of January 1977 as they sat in Deal's Pontiac Firebird. Deal escaped injury, but Christine died later in hospital. And then, about 7:30 p.m. on the 8th of March 1977, 19-year-old New York Columbia University student Virginia Verechki was murdered by a single shot to the forehead that penetrated her school books which she had used as a shield against the gunman, who she must have confronted as she walked home from school near where Christine Friend was killed. At last, police announced that there was a maniac on the loose. Took him a while. The papers labelled him the 44 caliber killer, but the killings continued. A month later, as police examined the bullet-riddled bodies of students Valenta Siorani and boyfriend Alexander Esau, who had been executed in their car at 3 a.m. in the Bronx, they found the first of what would be many teasing notes from the serial killer. This bloke's murdering people, now he's leaving them notes. He complained that he was being badly treated by the press, who called him a woman hater. "I'm not a woman hater, but I am a monster. I am Son of Sam. I am a little brat. Sam loves to drink blood. Go out and kill," commands Father Sam. "I am the monster prowling the streets for fair game." Then came the words that filled police with dread. "I'll be back. I'll be back. Yours in murder, Mr. Monster." And from then on, the letters kept coming to the New York Police Department and newspapers, taunting authorities to catch him before he killed again. When New York Times columnist Jimmy Breslin began publishing Sam's letters and then replying to them through his column in an attempt to draw him out into the open, incredibly, Son of Sam responded, "Hello from the gutters of New York City, which are filled with all sorts of terrible, terrible things. Hello from the sewers of New York, which are not a nice place to be, and they are washed away by the sweeper trucks." And in what Breslin described to his readers as the letter from hell, when he asked Sam, Son of Sam, would he kill again, the killer responded, "Mr. Breslin, sir, don't think that because you haven't heard from me for a while that I went to sleep. No, rather, I am still here, like a spirit roaming the night, ready to kill." On the night of the 29th of July 1977, all of New York stayed indoors in anticipation that Son of Sam would strike again on the first anniversary of his reign of terror. But it didn't happen. Instead, as New York was breathing a collective sigh of relief, at 2:35 a.m. the following morning, Son of Sam murdered Stacy Moskowitz and seriously injured her date, Robert Violante, both 20, as they sat in his car near a city park in Brooklyn. Police checking out parking tickets in the vicinity of the Moskowitz crime scene noted a 1970 Ford Galaxy had been booked for parking too close to a fire hydrant 30 minutes before the murder. When repeated phone calls to the owner went unanswered, on the 11th of August 1977, detectives called at the address and found the Galaxy parked in the street out the front. Inside, they saw a rifle and found a letter addressed to the leader of the Son of Sam task force that the killer had obviously intended leaving at the scene of his next murder. Son of Sam was arrested that night as he left his apartment to kill again. A brown paper bag in his hand contained a Bulldog .44 pistol. He simply smiled and said, "Okay, you've got me. What took you so long?" Instead of the deranged, ranting maniac police anticipated, Son of Sam turned out to be a 24-year-old mail sorter, David Berkowitz, who had the cherubic looks of an angel and the demeanour of a kitten. Chances were that the dozens of Son of Sam letters he had posted to the authorities had passed through where he worked, at the mail sorting house where he worked. Berkowitz proudly confessed to the murders and blamed his killing spree on his inadequacies with women. He explained that he could not approach a woman as a man would do and date her or take her out. He found gratification in killing them instead. He also explained that he couldn't have done it on his own volition. Berkowitz said that Sam was in fact his neighbour. Sam Carr and Carr's retriever dog, Harvey, was possessed by an ancient demon, which had issued irresistible commands that Berkowitz kill people. Son of Sam was in fact a black Labrador. David Berkowitz was found sane and guilty of 6 murders and 7 attempted murders and sentenced to 365 years in prison. Although becoming a born-again Christian in jail, each time his parole comes up for review, it is rejected.